You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I'm pleased to be joined with one of the foremost experts in all the nation on the topic of prayer, here to talk about a new book that will greatly affect in a positive way your prayer life and an important event coming here to Oklahoma. I'm talking about Dr. Gregory Reed Frizzell. Dr. Frizzell serves as prayer and spiritual awakening specialist for the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. Dr. Frizzell, welcome to Messenger Insight.
Thank you, Brian. I'm honored to be here.
Now, as we've talked about before, you have written a number of books which have challenged people and helped them to grow in prayer areas, and you have a new one that has debuted, and I wanted all the listeners to hear about it. What is it? What's the topic? And what prompted you to write this book?
Well, the title is Return to Me, Says the Lord, and God really led us to write it to help people get a handle on total surrender of their lives to Jesus Christ. In our busy world, sometimes it's easy to just not have a handle on that. And so this book helps people to identify areas that may be kind of hidden that are hindering God's Spirit in their life. And it's full of grace, but it's also a deep cleansing. So it helps bring renewal and powerful prayer to people's lives.
And at a time where technology is more and more distracting us and luring us away from prayer, how will these prodding questions cause us to go deeper with God?
You know, I often get asked that. Why do you put questions in your book that kind of cause us to reflect? It struck me a long time ago that Jesus asked a lot of questions of people, and his questions could, in a sense, kind of pin someone to the wall. But the purpose is not in any way negative to get somebody to be under conviction, but it's to help them see areas that, as I said before, are kind of hidden, that may not come to our mind as a hindrance. And God's mercy helps us by the questions to really let him have everything. And that makes a big difference.
Absolutely. And have you seen churches starting to see fruit from this work and engaging with it?
Well, we have, and it's amazing because the book is just really full of Scripture, and I always say that's where the power is. It's certainly not my words, but as they pray through the Scriptures, I'm getting a lot of testimonies of people that said God uncovered things that were hindering his Spirit in their life and their church, things they didn't realize were there. And that's probably the biggest testimony I get, that it's sort of like strongholds that have been hindering God are somewhat removed. And that makes a huge difference in people's life as well as a church.
What role would prayer have if we were to see revival or a spiritual awakening?
Brian, usually right before a great revival, prayer intensifies. It's not that folks aren't praying, but it's like it's not exactly the effective fervent prayer of an absolutely yielded heart that James 5:16 talks about. So what we notice before a great revival is that people's personal prayer life goes deeper. There's a greater fervency, and that's coming from a deeper surrender. And so our hope today is that what prayer is going on will actually go deeper and more powerful, and that brings the mighty move of God.
How could people get a copy, or churches or Sunday school classes?
Well, just our office here at State Convention is the best way to do it. Our email and phone, of course, obviously 405-942-3000, and just my office. And that's probably the easiest way, as well as the website can get it.
Great. Now, this is also kind of connected to an upcoming event. Tell us about the event, when it is, the purpose, what people could expect, how they could take part.
We're very excited about a statewide solemn assembly the night before. That's January 26th, Sunday, the night before the State Evangelism Conference. And I'm honored to work with an evangelism team that understands the importance of prayer connected to evangelism. So on that January 26th, at 6 o'clock at First Baptist Church Moore, many churches will come together. We'll have about an hour and a half of intense prayer, surrender, for revival, but also for the evangelism conference and evangelism in our state. Many churches not in the mid-state region will do something in their own church that night in terms of prayer. So we're super excited because it's a biblical thing. It's not something we came up with. It's Scripture. And when God's people pray and repent, that's when God does great things.
That's fantastic. I'd encourage everyone to go to bgco.org to find out information on that, how you could be part. You also have another book that I wanted to talk about, pretty unique topic, really, on the Lord's Supper. Tell us about that book and what prompted you to address this topic.
Well, it kind of excites me because I didn't really plan the book. It more or less just evolved out of some other work we were doing. Interestingly enough, though every church in the world does Lord's Suppers, there's very little written on how to do them powerfully and in a deeper way. And countless pastors have told me, I know I can do a better job with this. So the book came out of a sense of God's leading that was built around a need that a lot of churches have.
Take us through some of the basics, because you're absolutely right. A lot of churches have a great emphasis on the Word and evangelism, but when it comes to handling the time for the Lord's Supper, they might be tempted to speed through it or miss some of the high points. Just how will they be able to dig deeper with a book like this, with an emphasis like this?
Well, we purposely made the book very flexible. A pastor has a lot of options on how he can use it. But one of the best ways is just let the congregation read through it about 2 weeks before a Lord's Supper. And it takes them on a journey to, for lack of a better word, freshly fall in love with Jesus, to really understand deeper what he's done for us and what the covenant of grace is about. But it is also a heart examination and a heart preparation. You know, the Lord's Supper is the one ordinance where God basically, at threat of death, said, don't do this without examining your heart. And though that could be taken to an extreme point of, I guess, fear, at the same time, many people do blaze through without hardly any heart preparation. So this book is a great tool to help people do that leading up to a Lord's Supper. Pastors can even use part of the book to actually do the Lord's Supper and prepare the people that are just actually sitting there in the pew. So it's very flexible. It could be used all the way from 6 weeks to 10 minutes leading up to a Lord's Supper.
As I read the book, I was struck by one point you underscored about the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner or not doing it unworthily. Talk about that and talk about how prayer factors into that preparation.
Well, obviously, the situation in Corinth was kind of unique. It was a blatant situation, so we're not suggesting that the least little sin in someone's life, God's going to really strike them dead or anything. But at the same time, to not reflect on what this really means, to not have any heart preparation, to not examine the level of our love to God and to each other, is really a violation of taking the Lord's Supper worthily. What we're so excited about is that this tool can bring deeper unity to churches and deepen the love and remove some of the barriers or some of the unforgiveness that's kind of under the surface. Some churches that have split from each other actually will go through this book separately and then have a joint Lord's service together. And that we've seen have enormous impact to bring healing.
Wow.
So there's a lot of uses God can bring from this.
That's wonderful. And people could call the Baptist building here and order a copy and call your office of prayer and spiritual awakening. Dr. Frizzell, if we could step back and think broader for a moment. Obviously, we have these important books. We have the event coming up in January at which you can read more at bgco.org. But talk about just prayer. You know, in a way, I think many people find it the easiest thing and the hardest thing.
Right.
What are some basics, just in your experience, that someone who's listening to this and I want to pray, but I really don't know how to take it to a deeper level? Could you talk to that person who's pondering all this?
Sure, and that's a great question. Number one, I would certainly say it doesn't have to be some rigid formula. God wants us to talk from our heart. It doesn't have to be fancy language. But probably for most believers today, to just give God more than the 2 minutes on the run. If someone can set aside 15, 20 minutes to really get quiet before God, and that's probably a small start. But to give him a little more time and to take extra time to let him search the heart. That's the biggest hindrance to prayer, is that many believers have things in their lives that they're ignoring. It may be someone they haven't forgiven or some habit that they're confessing but not forsaking. We're seeing a lot of believers stop with confession but never get to really turn from the things that are hindering God in their life. So prayer that would take a little more time and let God do some searching over a few weeks would make an enormous difference.
And I've heard you give your own testimony how God pushed you through to where you had to start waking up, start waking up, setting an alarm. If you don't mind sharing that one anecdote.
That was kind of a humorous thing. In seminary, I had to get up really early to have good time with God. And I found I could easily sleep through that alarm if I wasn't careful. And so God gave me an idea to put an alarm clock way down the hall out of my room so I'd have to get up on my feet and run down to turn it off. And the Lord even led me to put a coffee pot there and put it on a timer so it would make coffee 10 minutes before the alarm went off. And I put it on a country music station really loud so I knew it wouldn't let them listen to it. But it really worked, and that may sound like a silly thing, but the point is most of us are so busy, if we don't do something to help us guard the time with God, even if it's just something to get you up, we may very well miss that time. And so whatever someone has to do to guard their time with God, God will certainly honor that.
That's a good word. We're talking to Gregory Frizzell. Dr. Frizzell is Prayer and Spiritual Awakening Specialist for the BGCO. Dr. Frizzell, your works have inspired, they've challenged, they've equipped, and we want to thank you for writing these two new ones, Return to Me, Says the Lord, and The Lord's Supper. Check them out online. Call the Baptist Building, 405-942-3800. Also, make plans to attend this solemn assembly in January. You know, if God is going to continue to move in Oklahoma, this will be one great way he'll use, certainly. So, Dr. Frizzell, thank you for coming on the podcast today and telling us about these resources.
Thank you, Brian. It's my privilege.
To close us out, would you mind voicing prayer for this state and what God will do in January?
Father, how we praise you that with you all things are possible. And Lord, we're asking you to take our prayers to a deeper level, our yielding to a deeper level, that God, you may explode in even greater power than we've ever seen. Lord, let our whole focus be your glory and your kingdom. And we ask in faith for a mighty move of your Spirit in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.